So today, 2 weeks before Easter, this is the Sunday that's traditionally known as Passion Sunday. Passion Sunday. Now, when we think of passion, we probably think that means strong emotions. We know the idea of being passionately in love with someone, or of being a passionate supporter of some team or some particular cause. But that's not the type of passion that we're talking about today. When we talk about the passion of the Lord Jesus Christ, it means his sufferings. Passion is an old word for suffering, for difficulty, for trials. All that Jesus went through, up to and including his death on the cross, that's the passion. Some of you might remember that Mel Gibson a few years ago directed a movie called The Passion of the Christ, and it told the story of those last few hours of Jesus' life and what he went through. And those sufferings are summarized for us in that very short gospel reading that we had from Luke 18. This was Jesus speaking before his death, telling his disciples what was going to happen, and he gives them six things. He says that he would be handed over to the Gentiles, that they would mock him, insult him, spit on him, flog him, and kill him. And it's easy to read those words quickly and to skim over them, but I want us this morning on Passion Sunday to stop and to reflect on those things which took place and what they mean. In that summary that Jesus gives, there's a kind of an escalation. It goes from bad to worse. First of all, he said he'd be handed over. Think of that one of his closest friends who had gone around with him for years would accept money and betray him. Jesus saw that coming. He said that they would mock him. Now, the Lord Jesus endured mockery all through his life. People made fun of him. People said, he's Joseph's son. Or, that's the boy who comes from Nazareth. And he was frequently mocked. But then as he hung on the cross, all the passers-by, were told, mocked him. Indeed, it still happens today that Jesus Christ is mocked on TV and online and in books. Then he says they will insult him. This is the next level up. This is more than just making fun. This is treating him shamefully, as if he's of no value. Think perhaps of what happened after Jesus' trial, which itself was a shameful thing. And they put a robe on him and then made a crown, but out of thorns, not out of gold. They placed it on his head to injure him and to say, "You're no king at all." He was insulted. He saw it all coming. And then he said that they would spit on him, which happened during his trial, and almost certainly as he carried the cross through the streets, people showed their hatred and contempt for him. And then the final two, they will flog him, that vicious beating that he endured, whipped and tortured by the Roman soldiers, and they will kill him. He says, not just a merciful ending of his life, swiftly and painlessly, but the agonizing death of being crucified, nailed to the cross, and left there to die. And Jesus saw all of that coming. He knew it was all going to happen. Here with his disciples, he said that it must take place. This morning we're just reminded here not to underestimate the passion, the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ, the depths of what he endured for us. He didn't just have to put up with some mild inconvenience. Didn't just have to give a few hours of his time to help us out in a tight spot, or to donate a few euros of his money to keep us going. He gave his life for us. And that tells us two things this morning. It tells us that we are more lost than we ever realized, and we're more loved than we ever dreamed. We're more lost than we ever realized. We're so lost. Our sin is so serious that it took the Son of God having to suffer and die to bring us back. There was no other way. As it says in the old hymn, there was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. He died for us. We're so lost that he had to do that. But we're so loved that he was willing to suffer those things on our behalf. What would you do for someone that you love? Well, perhaps if it's somebody so close to you, maybe if it was your children, you would die for them. But would you for a stranger or for an enemy, for someone that ignored you? Jesus Christ did. Perhaps you've heard the story of Father Maximilian Kolbe. This was a Polish priest who died in the Nazi concentration camp at Auschwitz in the Second World War. And he was sent there because his friary, the monastery where he was, had sheltered refugees, including many, many Jews who were being exterminated. And he was sent to the camp at Auschwitz. And there was a rule there at one particular time that if anybody tried to escape or succeeded in escaping, that 10 men would be killed as retaliation. And a man from Father Kolbe's block did escape, and the rest of the men were led out to face the camp commander. And 10 were selected to be placed in a bunker called a starvation bunker to be killed. And one of them, another Polish man called Franciszek Gawonicek, he broke down and sobbed and he cried. He said, my wife and my children, what will they do without me? And at that moment, Father Kolbe stepped forward. He took off his cap and before the commander, he said, look, I am a priest. Let me take his place. I'm old. He's young. He has wife and children. And the commander remained silent for a minute and then he agreed to Father Maximilian Kolbe's request. The other man, Franciszek, was returned to the ranks and Father Kolbe was led off to Building 13, where he was starved to death. He died on the 14th of August, 1941. In fact, he was only 47 years of age. The other man, Franciszek, whose place he took, survived the war and he lived to the age of 95. And it's told that he never forgot Father Kolbe. And he always told people about that heroic love and how he had swapped places with him to let him go free and have the chance of life. Well, Maximilian Kolbe was a hero, but he didn't die for you or for me, but Jesus Christ did. He did give his life for you in just as real a way as that man in 1941. Prophet Isaiah sums it up by saying that he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. By his wounds, we are healed. So the cross is a great exchange. It's a swap where Jesus Christ came into our place and suffered for us so that we could stand in his shoes and be free and be released. And in Luke's gospel, when Jesus told the disciples about all that was going to happen to him, it says the disciples did not understand any of this. Its meaning was hidden from them. They did not know what he was talking about. It's not that they didn't understand the words, but they didn't know what it meant. They couldn't fathom how could this forthcoming death of Jesus be anything other than a disaster? How could it be good? And still today, the cross can be very confusing. So we come up to Easter time. It can be very strange, can't it? I mean, Christmas we can understand. We understand why that's good, because a baby came into the world and there's joy. But at Passion time and Easter time, it doesn't seem to be good. It's about suffering and death. How can the cross, which was an instrument of torture, be an ornament that we wear? How can the day of Jesus' death be called Good Friday? I want to urge you over these next 2 weeks to press into this question and this mystery at the center of our faith. To think about the suffering and death of Jesus Christ. What does it mean for you and how does it affect your life? As you come to Holy Communion shortly, let's give thanks from the very depth of our heart for what Jesus Christ did for you. If you haven't done so, this would be a great time to give your life to Him and to tell Him that from now on you want to live for Him and you want to be guided and directed and your life to be surrendered to Him who died for you. And as we enter into Holy Week in a week's time, can I urge you to take some time to come to those special services that we are putting on jointly, some of them with the Methodist and Presbyterian churches on the Wednesday and Thursday nights, and then on Friday, both in the morning and in the evening, there are services. Donegal at 11, Lahey here at 8 p.m. And just take time to have your mind filled again with the wonder of what Jesus Christ has done for us. And then let's go to live our lives shaped by the cross, serving others as He has served us. We can so often grumble, can't we, about small things when we're called on to make some small sacrifice of our time or of our resources. When we have to put up with some small inconvenience, perhaps for the sake of serving others and serving Christ. And we can get so annoyed and frustrated about that. But when we look at the cross, it really puts everything in perspective. He went through all of that for us. And no sacrifice that we can ever make is anything near as big. We rejoice simply that we may be worthy to give up some small thing in order to serve Him and to help others. Jesus, Paul later said, is the Son of God who loved us and gave Himself for us. So, Heavenly Father, grant that we may draw near to the cross in these days and be refreshed and strengthened to live in service to You and to others. Amen.